Hey y'all, hey, welcome to Such a Lady, and I'm your host Siobhan. If you are new tuning in, get comfortable and make yourself at home because you found your new toxic family. If you are a sow, thanks for tuning back in. I appreciate it and you. This week's Such a Lady of the week is Nicole Walker. Thank you for being you. Thank you for tuning in each week. And thank you for being such a lady. We love you. Now, let's get toxic. This next toxic love story gone wrong lets you know that you can never really trust somebody. I need help. I'm on the lake, but I don't know where. My husband has had a stroke and he fell overboard. I tried to grab him, but I tripped and I can't find him. He fell overboard. This is the 911 call Lori Eisenberg made on February the 13th, 2018. She told the police her husband, Larry Eisenberg, had fallen into Lake Lake Coeur d'Alene. Poor Lori, who grew up with very, very humble beginnings. Lori sometimes grew up staying in abandoned farmhouses with her family and sometimes not even knowing where her next meal was going to come from. Eventually, Lori would meet and fall in love with Stephen Barnes, who she would go on to have 6 daughters with. Y'all heard me right, 6 girls. My goodness, that is a lot of girls. A lot of attitudes in that house. Stephen and Lori eventually got a divorce, and she took all 6 of her daughters to Idaho to start a new life there. When Lori moved to Lake Coeur d'Alene, she met Larry, who was also divorced, and Larry himself had 2 children of his own. So for Lori and Larry, right, that's cute, the 2 L's. For Lori and Larry, this was a second chance at love, at happiness, and the 2 took advantage of it. They would often host these get-togethers with their families, and everyone said that they had found their forever in each other. Like, they were that couple. Like, oh, look at them. They so cute. That they were that couple. That was Lori and Larry. The 2 loved to go out on the lake in their boat quite often, and Larry was retired. So Larry was like, he just kind of did a little bit of everything. You know, he was retired, but he really couldn't sit down nowhere. Y'all know the type. And Lori was the executive director of the North Idaho Housing Coalition. I was kind of curious as to what they did over there, you know, at the place. And it's pretty dope. They renovate properties to sell or rent to families in need. So Lori was out here doing some pretty dope work. They were living their best life. You know, they had found love again and they were giving it all they had until Lori called 911 because she couldn't find her husband. When the police arrived on the scene, Lori had a bloody nose, and she said it was from trying to get to Larry before he fell overboard. Lori was frantic. She was. But she was able to hold it together long enough to tell the police that Larry was acting strange before he fell overboard. Lori said she had just woken up and she said that Larry was talking about there was trouble with the motor on the boat. He was just acting strange, and he even looked strange. Lori said before she knew it, Larry was gone. Now, Lori said that she left her phone in their car. Like, Lori was like, I always forget my phone. Like, I'm with my husband. I don't need my phone. The person who I need to talk to, I'm with. So I always forget my phone in the car. And Lori said that she figured that Larry's phone went overboard with him when he fell. Lori said she didn't want to leave the area to go get help because she wasn't sure that she could tell the police where Lori was at if she left, because there was nothing there. And she figured once she left, then Larry was just gone. So she stayed and she circled around in the boat. She cried out, she called out, but to no avail, there was no Larry. Lori was eventually taken to the hospital to be checked out, and the police believed that this was an accident. Like, they were talking and they were like, yeah, this really sucks, but it's an accident. But they still had to do an investigation, which I love that. I absolutely love that, because they could have just been like, this was an accident, and then we probably might not even be here today. But they was like, listen, we believe her, but we still want to make sure that we cross all our T's and we dot all our I's. And that's really basically all they were trying to do. The police and divers were still looking for Larry, but at this time, it was a recovery mission. With the temperatures in the water, the police and the divers didn't think that Larry had a chance of still being alive. And it wasn't safe for the divers to be in the water. So they brought in sonar equipment, which was supposed to be used to find like the outline of a body. So they were looking all over this lake, trying to see if they could at least find the outline of Larry's body so that they could get him out of the water. They would even take Lori back out to see if she could remember just one thing, one simple thing that might help them find Larry. But Lori couldn't remember a thing. She couldn't remember if there were houses nearby. She couldn't remember if there were trees. She couldn't remember if there were people. She couldn't, like, it was like she, her mind just went blank. It was the craziest thing. Now, let's rewind to about 6 months prior. Because Lori's job begins to notice that their numbers are off. And then Lori starts acting strange, being real secretive, you know what I mean? And at her job, they were like, you know what, say less. You don't have to talk to us. But the books, they gonna do the talking. So they begin investigating Lori, of all people, right? How dare y'all? Here is this 60-something married mother and grandmother, and she's being investigated by the company she has worked for years, okay? Like, for years. Now they are asking Lori questions, so I think that she knew that they were looking at her, but it wasn't until Larry fell overboard, and listen, y'all, the court, the Lean Press, the newspaper, reported that Lori was no longer employed by the Idaho Housing Coalition. Why, you asked? After the audit, it was determined that Lori had embezzled $579,495.75 from her job over the years. Talk about having a bad day. Lori was a walking bad day, okay? Do you hear me? Her husband had fallen overboard. And on the same day, the press releases a statement saying, homegirl got fired on her day off. The newspaper was being messy. They was being messy. Listen, whoever was at work that day, they was doing their job because they was on it. Things just seemed like they couldn't get worse for Lori. Or could they? Because they could. When the police went to Lori's house, they saw some things that made them go, okay. First, there was blood in places that there should not have been. So the police stopped. And then they eventually start asking Lori questions that she don't have the answers for. So they decide that they're going to go get a search warrant for Lori and Larry's house. But then Larry's body turns up. So within a week, Lori has lost a husband, been blasted by this newspaper, arrested and charged with 40 counts of forgery. 40, y'all. And it wasn't just Lori. She had involved her daughters into her shenanigans, okay? She did. Like, she had included them into everything that was going on. Lori, y'all listen, Lori was getting turned every which way but loose, all right? Lori's daughter eventually posted her $75,000 bond. But while in jail, Lori would claim that the reason she did these things and that she stole this money was because her daughters were always asking her for things. They always needed help. And what kind of mother would she be if she couldn't make things happen for her daughters? Ma'am, did nobody tell you to have six kids? And by this time, they grown. So why is they not at least trying to make it work for themselves first, okay? But Lori was adamant that they always needed her for something. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, what a way to be accountable, mom. Like, you get in trouble, and instead of being like, yeah, look, I messed up, that wasn't the best thing for me to do, I made a bad choice, she started blaming her kids. Right, okay, yeah, this was her. And then she didn't even get them involved by setting up fake accounts in their names. Like, she was in it, okay? She was in it. She was in it deep. Now, once Larry's body was found, they decided to do an autopsy. Listen, I love this place because they like, we finna make sure we get to the bottom of the bottom. Like if it smell good, then it stink. Okay? I mean, if it don't smell good, then it stink. This is what they saying. Because they like, let's see what's going on. And they do an autopsy. And there was a lot to unpack. The first thing was, Larry did not drown. He was dead before he even hit the water. Now, that would account for Lori saying that he had a stroke, because he might have had a stroke and died and then hit the water, you know. So that would account for that. But he didn't. They said Larry didn't have a stroke, and he didn't even drown. What he did have was an antihistamine Benadryl in his system, enough to be fatal. The newspaper reported, y'all listen, this dang newspaper. The newspaper reported that Larry died from an overdose from the drug. Normal levels are between 100 and 1,000 nanograms per milliliter. Larry tested at 7,100 nanograms. Like, that's a lot. Like, you can't act, that's a lot to accidentally take, okay? That's a lot. A whole bunch to accidentally take, especially if the normal levels are between 100 and 1,000. Those same police that said Larry's death was an accident, we're now seeing a different tune. Right. Lori, you got some splaining to do. Larry's death was now being investigated as a homicide. But why would Lori want the love of her life killed? Like, why? They was in love. They was goals. Why would she want him dead? Green. Lori had forged Larry's signature, leaving his kids, his own kids, the kids that he helped create, 20% of his belongings, and decided to leave Lori's kids 80%. Make it make sense. So I'm finna leave your kids more than I leave my kids. Now, I'm just saying, if you're going to tell a lie, make it believable, Lori, because that just didn't sound believable. It wasn't like Larry was a dadbeat daddy, because he took on your kids that was grown when he met him. So why would you think that anybody in their right mind would believe that? But again, Lori was smarter than the average bear. Now, by this point, Lori is unhinged, because while on bail, she decided she finna go on the lam. Lori, I'm just saying, she was doing the most. Because if you wanted folks to think that you were innocent, running absolutely did not help your case at all. Now, Lori eventually turned herself in, and she was charged with the murder of her husband. Lori's family stood by her. They were like, my mom would never, ever do something like that. Like, y'all got it all wrong. But Larry's family said that they believe that Lori did this. They believe that she was guilty. And they think that the reason why she did it is because Lori was a cheater. Like, Lori had cheated on basically all the men she had been with. And she was cheating when she met they daddy, Larry. So it was already like Larry kind of didn't trust her, but he loved her. So Larry's kids were saying if he found out that she was embezzling this money, like, that ain't even how my daddy get down. He wouldn't even be okay with that. Like, most likely he would leave her. So you got Lori, who knows that something is finna give. Like, something is finna give because she knows that these people are looking into her. She don't know when the ball's gonna drop, but it's eventually gonna drop. And then she got Larry, who she gonna have to look him in the face and be like, yeah, I did it, because the numbers don't lie. The audit don't lie. So she was gonna have to eventually tell this man, hey, this is what's up. But instead of saying, okay, baby, I messed up, I made a bad decision, I'm finna go to jail, I hope you can cook, she decides that she finna play God. And then Larry's kids said they also believe that Lori felt like she could take the money that she was gonna get from killing their father to use as restitution for the money that she had embezzled. But Lori, that's a lot of money. I'm just asking, what did your daughters need? Like a spaceship or a new heart? I mean, that's a lot of money. And then you don't have none left. So if Larry did leave, you would be okay. Like, you stole all that money to be broke. Make it make sense. You stole all that money to be broke. This is what I mean about folks not thinking stuff through. Hopefully for Lori, that girl got some money buried in one of her daughter's backyards. But based on her history, not so much at all. The jury found Lori guilty of murdering her husband, 68-year-old Larry Eisenberg. And Lori was sentenced to life in prison. Y'all, this is a serious question. At some point, do people be like, I'm too old to go to jail? Like, I've been free my whole entire life. If this plan don't work, I might go to jail. And is that a risk that I'm willing to take? Or do y'all think that these people just think for the kill of it? Like, just for the moment, they don't think past it. I'm really curious to know, because Lori had been free her whole life. She hadn't gotten in trouble at all. And then she just wakes up and decides one day that, okay, I'm finna steal from my job and then I'm gonna kill my husband. At the big age of 60 something. You know what I mean? You had all your life to get in trouble. Like, them is supposed to be your retirement years, and you lived on the lake. You was already there. You had already made it. And then you decide you want to go to jail. I don't know, y'all. Lori changed so many lives by her actions. Larry didn't steal or embezzle that money, but Lori made him pay for her sins. And that is so sad. Rest in peace to Larry, and our condolences to his family. I absolutely thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this week's crazy love story gone wrong. That story was absolutely crazy, and I didn't expect Lori to be over here stealing all these folks' money. Like, girl, what is you doing? Oh my gosh. But listen, for real, if you are in a toxic relationship and you've been praying for a sign, if you should leave, this is your confirmation for you to choose you. I love you, but I cannot choose you for you. Nobody can do that for you but you. And everything that God has for you is on the other side of choosing you. if you need help doing that, you can always reach out to us as Such a Lady. We'll be more than happy to get you in touch with the resources that you need. Or if you don't want us in your business, you can reach out to the National Domestic Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. If you are the toxic and you like, listen, I don't want to be like this no more. I don't. You can change. You do not have to be the same way that you were before. You don't. If you woke up this morning, then you can change. And if you need help doing so, we will be more than happy to help you. If you don't want us in your business, you can reach out to them people too at the National Domestic Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. I just pray that you choose you. I don't want to tell a story about nobody that is a sow. That's not what we want. We want better for you. And to the rest of y'all, I love y'all. Y'all can meet me over at the socials on Instagram, Such a Lady 30. On Facebook, it's Such a Lady. I love you guys. Don't forget to be great on purpose. And if your morning did not start out great, that's okay. Don't milk it. Don't let a bad moment turn into a bad day. Don't let it have your day. Don't let it have your day. Now go be great on purpose. I love y'all. I'll meet y'all back. Same toxic time, same toxic place next week. Bye.